You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm talking to Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. I'm just looking at the screen before we get to South Africa, and there's some good South African stories coming out every day now, Skulk. I've got the S&P futures up around about 1%, approaching all-time record highs. People seem to like the fact that Mr. Trump has just gone away on, what's it called, Marine One, that helicopter, and he's flying down to Mar-a-Lago for the last time in Air Force One, that big jumbo jet, and the market seems to like it. But also, I think it likes a lot of the results coming out of the US corporate world. Long introduction. What is your assessment of what I've just said?
Which part? The Trump part or the corporate part?
I think the corporate part is probably more important, especially after Netflix's numbers, which was spectacular this week.
I still need to find results that's not looking... I'm not talking about spectacular, but it's not good. So I must say, you know, back to corporate side. I mean, yeah, it's been a great start to the year. I mean, to look at the current, you know, environment where we in a positive environment, you know, I've got this general feel. Yes, we've still got COVID around us. Yes, it's still very much, you know, uncomfortable. And, you know, vaccine rollout is very slow in certain countries. In South Africa, it's a no-go yet. So in general, I think that the results that's coming out is looking good. And it does give you an indication that this amount of stimulus that we've seen in, let's call it, since March last year is currently to reap the benefits. And I think this is more or less what we can expect for 2021. Where are we now?
Exactly.
2020.
You don't think that there's a danger that we're front-loading everything? I mean, it's a new year. Everyone says, well, it's clicked over from one number, in other words, 2020, to another number, 2021. There's an over-exuberance, and maybe we're front-loading everything. And afterwards, you might say to yourself, well, actually, it all happened in January, and the rest of the year is going to be dreary. Is there a chance that that's happening, or do you think this momentum will continue?
Yeah, so firstly, I mean, that's highly possible. I mean, we've seen, you know, over the, let's call it, past 5 years in South Africa, where we do kick off, let's call it, January, February, you know, sort of quickish, and it looks, you know, sort of positive just to get a pullback. I keep on talking about that period, let's call it, round about just, or let's call it, post-2003. And for those who haven't listened to you know, how I explain this, is that's a five-year period, also in South Africa, but also global events. You know, a five-year period, you know, starting in 1998, going through to 2003. And let me just quickly give you a quick rundown.
Yes.
So 1998 started off, we have that massive, massive correction in the market in 1998. 1999, we had that period. I can still remember sitting on my little, you know, doorstep, just bought a new house, and the prime rate. And yes, I'm going to make this very, very slow, so all the people, young people, that don't think it is possible, where the prime rate went to
25%.
Yeah, 25.5 to be exact.
I bought a house at the same time. Just to interrupt you, I bought a house in Parktown North at the same time. I thought, there's no way that my bond can get any more expensive than it is. And lo and behold, it went down. But what's your story?
No, I mean, that's exactly the same story. I mean, we just thought, I mean, this is, it can't go any higher. I think it went from around about the 18% level. Oh, it can't go any higher, just to see it peak there, 25.5%. Yeah, it was a horrible period. I mean, the amount of stress we had was just phenomenal. But that didn't stop in 1999, because 2000 was well known for .com, you know, everything just collapsed from a technical point of view. I can still remember, you know, 31st of December 1999, where everybody was sort of contemplating, are we going to wake up tomorrow morning on the 1st of January 2000, and, you know, are we going to see traffic lights working?
You mean Y2K?
Y2K.
But, what a scam that was.
yeah, that was a massive scam. But also, you know, make no mistake, a lot of the .com or .com era, the final part of 99, was driven about this whole, let's call it, Y2K. So not predominantly, but definitely secondary. So we had the big implosion of tech companies. Just to see 2001, we saw Osama bin Laden playing little airplanes there in September. That horrible events of 9/11 So it didn't stop there. 2002 was they went at a war in Afghanistan, and we were worried, oh, could this be the start of World War III? Just to see that the Afghanistan war was a non-event. In 2003, they went and made war in Iraq against Saddam Hussein, and we knew back then that was it. You know, we are now physically in World War III. We were scared, Lindsay. You remember that. I mean, I remember a day where I drove back close in a street here in Tiger Valley, where the street was closed because there was an anthrax scare. I mean, in South Africa, in Bellville, South Africa, we had an anthrax scare. We were scared. Now, that's the background. That's the 5-year
background. Okay, that's the background. Where's this going now, Scott?
What I'm saying is that period, let's call it, and just to, you know, just to end everything off, we had a horrible 5-year period then as well. Performances were horrible.
Right.
Yes, it wasn't a pandemic. It was a totally different environment. I'm not arguing that fact. But you know, that period, let's call it from April 2002 to April 2003, ended off being a 12-month period where the South African market was down close to 33%.
Gosh.
That's a third of the value of the JSE gone in the final 12 months of that 5-year period.
Right.
Now, let's fast forward. So April 2003 to about September 2003. I can't remember the exact figures, but the market recovered suddenly about 15%. And I can still to this day remember how people were saying, oh, but you know what? This is now the time to start locking in some of these profits. And there was a similar environment. We also came out of a recession. There was some stimulation. It was just an environment where things started to look better. The commodity cycle started to turn positive. And yes, the market recovered about 15% in 6 months' time. Now, again, fast forward. That next year, 2004, the market ran, you know, something like 30%. And, you know, for anybody that thought that was sort of a luck, 2005, the market ran over 70%. So all that I'm saying is be careful to look around you, to look around you at the current environment, meaning we're sitting in lockdown level 3 as we speak. We can't go to the beach. We can't go to a liquor store and buy a bottle of wine. We're looking around as it currently are, and we think, oh, this is a horrible year. We don't want to be invested. We need to look ahead. We need to look at 12, 24 months ahead. And when I look at what's currently happened, there, Biden announced last week, you know, $1.9 trillion, you know, stimulus. And what did he say?
Yeah, but it's gone. Just before you go on about that stimulus package, it's like having a couple of beers if you like alcohol.
Mm.
You have it and you think, God, I've got that beer there and I'm feeling good. And suddenly, but it disappears quite quickly. I mean, $1,600 or $1,400, whatever a certain elements of the, a certain strata of the US population will receive this money so that they can sit at home and watch Netflix. Or that's cruel, can go and buy their kids food and stuff. And don't forget that there's still 24-hour food banks in New York City at the moment. They have to open for 24 hours because people can't afford to buy food because of the dire situation of the US economy, no matter what the market's doing. But it's a short-term thing. $1.9 trillion, it goes like that, Skulk. It disappears.
Well, that's beautiful what you said, Jerry, because you're talking about a short-term thing. What I'm saying is this is a huge amount of capital that's going to be in play. Because it's not only you. We're talking about the U.S. Lagarde, you know, similar story. Let's move things back to South Africa. I mean, look at our current interest rate. Today, the CPI figures came out, and for those who didn't follow it, it came out at 3.1%, forecast at 3.2%. So
it's nothing.
Although it's nothing. It's nothing. That just tells us that, you know, there's no big rush in South Africa, as it currently stands, to be worried about, are we going to see interest rates moving upward? So two companies reported this week. A few companies reported, but I think two companies that stood out for me is Truworths and the Foschini Group.
Truworths came out on Friday at 5 o'clock, and I think their sales were down. Their revenue was down 9%. I can't remember because on a Friday you don't tend to focus on those things after the market closes. But then I thought, well, the fact that they're reporting at 5 o'clock on a Friday is usually a bit of a red flag because that means that they don't want people to see the numbers over the weekend and get depressed. But Monday morning, this thing was up 10%, I think.
Yeah, well, it didn't stop there. I mean, it didn't stop there. It wonderful days. I mean, I think Monday it was up 15%, to be exact. Yesterday, another similar story. So, you know, it was wonderful. But all that, remember that figures that they actually brought out, you know, were figures comparing like for like this time versus 12 months, you know, before. So although we're talking about 9%, we're looking at a company that everybody was thinking, oh man, we had a hard lockdown, we couldn't buy nothing, and then suddenly you can buy some clothing and some unlabeled t-shirts, and I can't remember what the list was, things. Yeah. This was a horrible environment for companies like Truers and Foschini Group. But remember what we said the second part of last year. The second part of last year, I said, do not underestimate the amount of capital that's being, even with high unemployment rate, even with a dire environment, do not underestimate the lower interest rate environment, how much extra money the general South African consumer suddenly got back in their pocket. And I mean, this is now reflected in the likes of the Truers, it's reflected in the likes of the Foschini Group. When we look at Truers, you know, even after today's, you know, fairly biggish retraction, yes. I mean, this company is up for the first, let's call it 21 days, well, 20 days, you know, for 2021. It's up 14.5%. I mean, what a pleasure. So,
but it's off such a low base, Scott. Come on now. This is just redressing the balance. I mean, it's gone down too far, and now it's gone up too fast. And now the key to this year to me is the first quarter and the second quarter, as I keep on boring people with. The first and the second quarter of this year will decide what the next 2 or 3 years will yield for us as investors and me as a broadcaster. So I just think that if the economic situation starts to stabilize and the new administration in the United States pleases people, and people like you and the South African government are pleased by it as well, then we can move on. But this might just be not a dead cat bounce, because the cat is definitely alive, but it will just be a consolidation potentially for 6 months. That's my layman's view. You're an expert. I'm not.
I think when it's blinding you and it's going, whoo-hoo, be careful. It might be a train coming out. Do not underestimate this, the trend currently.
Did you say whoo-hoo? Did you just say?
Yeah, I tried to mimic a train, but that didn't work. It sounded more like a dead owl, a very old owl.
Anyway, let's just get serious now.
I've seen this before. That's all I'm saying. I've seen this before, yeah. And I've been in a position. Lizzie, I can't tell you how many times in that period between 2003, 2004, as a younger investor thinking, oh, you know what, this has done too much. We need to start looking at locking in some profits at some of these companies, especially the commodity companies.
Yes.
You know, back then, remember how the likes of Anglo-American, the likes of Billitons, those type of companies ran. And you just thought, it can't make new highs just to see it make new highs in the following. So I think we can most probably debate this you know, this point, you know, for the next hour, but I do discuss it. I mean, something that I've just finished a report on. This will be published in the week next week. I think next week Friday will be on the shelves, and I'll encourage everybody to go and read it. It's where I look at 2021,
yes.
And specifically look at environment where you can look for some opportunities. I mean, we've discussed this. You know, we looked at it. You know, if we see a lower interest rate environment, if we do see, you know, commodity cycles still moving upward, if we see a dollar coming under pressure, this is all the themes that we're talking about.
Yeah, don't find the momentum. I mean, there's the oldest phrase in the book to me is the trend is your friend. And it doesn't matter if the trend stops and you miss the first 5% of the change in trend. Don't worry about it, because there'll be another 15, 20, 25% of the trend change. Let's have a quick look at a couple of things that came out this morning. You spoke about commodities. BHP Group came out with its operational review for the half year ended December of last year. Share price up today 2.7%. Richemont, I don't know if you're a flashy person, I don't know if you wear a Richemont watch, But their trading update for the third quarter ended December also came out today. Share price up 1.25%. There's a couple of other companies that have really caught my eye, Montauk and Cartrack. That's not so much on the stock exchange news service. Montauk was, but there are things going on the JSE Securities Exchange. And I think people are suddenly saying, yeah, let's have a look at South Africa again. It's part of the emerging market basket. It may be only a small part of it, but yeah, let's put a couple of $100 million in there over a period. And I think that's why some of these the extraordinary moves we've seen have occurred. I think foreigners are buying us. I think foreigners are buying us, Skulk.
I think so as well. I mean, we've seen December that we've had net foreign buyers in local equities for the first time in many, many, many months.
Yes.
But that said, I mean, we've seen that occurrence starting in December. We've seen the recent movement in emerging market, the MSCI Emerging Market Index. You know, currently running the MSCI world, you know, by quite a country mile. And that's good for South Africa, because remember, South Africa, although it's a very small holding within the emerging market index, I want to call it 4.something%, very small within the emerging. We're still the sixth largest emerging market within that basket.
Okay. You know?
So we're still one of the most liquid. We were still one of the most liquid markets in that. Because remember, the biggest one in that basket, 36% of that basket, is China. And then you move down. Second point I want to make, and then we were talking about the commodity cycle that started to move up. We've seen it in the likes of Billiton this morning. Results looking very, very good. Yes, there was a few once-offs that just maybe should be watched. But I think in general, very solid results coming from Billiton. And, share price reacted. Share price up 2.6%. Yes. Why I also like Billiton, and I'm not a big energy fan, because I still think that this COVID thing might play around with investors. But I've done a graph where I look at the U.S. 10-year yield. And a lot of people usually do the U.S. 10-year yield,
yes,
and they add the gold price to it. And they say, well, look at that inverse correlation. What I've done is I've done the 10-year yield, and I've added the Brent oil, in dollar on the same graph, and it's phenomenal, the correlation that you see. Basically, that when yields go up, and it's very simplistic. I mean, higher oil price create higher inflation, create higher yields. That's just equal.
We'll talk about inflation in greater detail, but now we have to start to look at the markets, because the dollar rand is 14.87. What a fantastic performance from the local currency. The British pound against the rand is 20.30. The euro rand has changed its big figure from 18 to 17, albeit just by a fraction, 17.99. The euro dollar, 121.05, which is a 0.2% weakness for the dollar. British pound, 136.55. I look at the cable just because of Brexit and just because I'm English by birth. The gold price, look at the gold price, it's doing so well. It's $18.67. It's up $34 in the last 24 hours. The platinum price is up $37 to $11.14. It's amazing. When I bought a wedding ring in a galaxy far, far away, the platinum price was $1,600. But if you look at the basket of PGMs, platinum group metals, goodness me, they are at record highs. Palladium is where, please, Skulk?
Also, similar story, $30, stronger today, up 1%, trading at $2,381.
Crude oil, the biggest component of the inflation basket or the inflation equation, West Texas crude, up 1%, just over 1%, in fact, to $53.53 per barrel. Brent crude oil is up nearly 1% to $56.43. The US 10-year bond is 110 and a bit at the moment. 1.10 is the yield on the US 10-year. Where's Bitcoin, please? We have to put Bitcoin in because there are some people that apparently like this thing. Where is it?
They are dropping like a rock. So clearly not a soft commodity, trading at $34,600.
$34,600. Very good. Okay. On my screen, I've got the top five major moves on the upside on the JSE Securities Exchange, headed by Cartrack, which is up 10.75% to 69 Rand a share. Well done to them. What a great South African story that is. Dis-Chem up 6.75%. People going out and buying vitamins. Coronation, I think that is, up 5.8%. Old Mutual up 5.3%. PSG, a company that you're quite familiar with, up 4.1% today. On the downside, Truworths, yeah, it couldn't last, you see. It couldn't last. Down 7.1%. Mr. Price couldn't last, down 6.75%. Impala Platinum, I don't know why that's happening, maybe the stronger round, but down 4.6%. That looks like a free hit to me. I think that is something you have to look at, but that's just me, nothing to do with you. TFG, again, couldn't last, down 4.5%. And Clicks, down 3.8%, going against, there's almost like a Dis-Chem versus a Clicks play at the moment, maybe some hedge fund. I don't know, but anyway, it's a really, really interesting move today, Skulk?
Extremely. I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, this is, there is some profit taking in Impala Platinum. But remember, Impala Platinum year to date already up, 10%, even with today's retraction. So it's done quite a bit. We're talking about commodities. This is a commodity day. I mean, even gold in an environment where you're looking at S&P and, well, of course, U.S. futures,
yes,
that's currently up, 1%, you would think to yourself, oh, you know what? I mean, gold should be under pressure, yet gold is running, platinums are running, palladiums are running, and do not underestimate the power that that's got, firstly, on our economy, and secondly, and I'll keep on saying this, on the rand. Rand yesterday, rand improves 2% against the dollar yesterday, and today, close to another percentage stronger against the US dollar. This is very good for South Africa. And again, make the trend your friend. That's what you mentioned earlier.
What an interesting chat, and what a sort of optimistic chat. Of course, we know things will change from day to day, week to week, month to month, but that was a really interesting chat. And you have to end it by giving us the JSE indices on this third day of the new trading week.
So JSE today ended 80 basis points stronger, closed at 34,109. Resource index, they had a lovely day, up 1.34%. Industrials up 0.66%. The financials, they were a little bit under pressure. They're down 16 basis points. And even SA Property Index, property sector, they were up 1.67%. And the turnover on the JSE weren't too bad either. We were looking at just shy of 21 billion traded for today.
Yeah, and that's been a trend as well. And I noticed there was somebody that was nibbling away at JSE Limited shares. There was a SENS announcement on that. So somebody saying, well, maybe this is the way to play this market, because if the volume's going up because of an emerging market play, then the JSE is one to look at as well. Skulklo, thank you so much for your time. Fascinating chat. Skulklo is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.